This morning, I'm going to briefly take us back to where we were 7 months ago, and I'm going to talk about where we are, at least in my perspective, in our turnaround, and what we need to stay focused on from this point going forward. If you think about it, even though it's somewhat painful, 7 months ago, the company, although we'd taken out a lot of costs, was still losing money. The systems business unit in particular, our core systems business, was overwhelming the profitability of the other business units with its losses. Our stock had collapsed to less than $19 a share. Employees had low morale. Customers were losing confidence, and as Enrico said, analysts thought that I was marginally crazy to set that objective and be public about it, that we would achieve a return to profitability from operations by the end of the calendar year. In July, we recognized that we needed to transform digital equipment, that although we'd done a lot of cost reduction, as I mentioned, it simply was not enough. And Enrico and I and other senior managers talked about the need to establish accountability, the business unit P&Ls, and to make a lot of changes. Those changes have been underway for the last 7 months, and although we're not finished, we've made tremendous progress, as Enrico mentioned. A typical example of what analysts were saying after that July meeting, that, as Enrico said, many of you were here, and you can read the slide. This particular analyst is very well respected, Barry Willman from Goldman Sachs, and as I say, it's just typical of what was being said at that time, and that was July 15th. Now let's see what Barry had to say about the company after our Q2 results. Quite a change in a very short time. This is great progress. When you leave the meeting this Friday, I hope you'll recognize not only what you have accomplished, but what you can accomplish when you have clear objectives, work hard, and work together as a team to accomplish those objectives. At the time when I said that, I really personally thought we had no better than a 20 or 30% chance of achieving profitability at the end of the calendar year, 20 or 30%. But I felt like it was so important to restore customer confidence, and I knew that I could depend on every employee in digital to rally around that objective and to make it happen. I want to show you just a few graphs of what was accomplished during the time and why Barry says the fundamentals are becoming increasingly evident that they're improving. These next few graphs, just three of them, we'll go back to our fiscal year 1990, and I don't know if you can see them clearly, but they relate to trends that for the most part have been down, and they're typically relating to a year-over-year comparison by quarter. This first one has to do with revenue growth. For the quarter, digital's revenue growth in total was up 7%. And you see on the chart there the very dramatic improvement in product revenue in the yellow color, which at the chart shows a 13% year-over-year improvement. But if you recall, we had completed the divestiture of our discs and heads business. If you adjust for that, it was even more spectacular, 18% year-over-year improvement in product revenue. On the services side, we reversed a very steep decline and managed to come above zero for a 1% improvement. And on a sequential basis, it was 9%. That is, with respect to Q1 of 95, services improved 9%. If you look at the next chart, this has to do with product order growth. For the fourth consecutive quarter, we had growth in product orders, and very healthy growth at that. The next chart talks about gross margin. And this really was the bulk of our problem. When you think about all of the costs that we took out, in excess of $1 billion annualized, still not being profitable, largely because we had continued to experience an erosion in our margins that ate up all of that hard work, this has stabilized and has begun to turn around. And in fact, in a very short time, and directly as a result of explicit actions that were taken, particularly in CSD and particularly led by Enrico, to focus on all of the elements of gross margin and to make a change in our profile. And you can see that we increased by 3 percentage points and 5 percentage points in products just from Q1. That's really remarkable. And that's that kind of progress that you've seen in these fundamentals underlie, of course, the financials. It's why none of the analysts, virtually the day before we announced our earnings, really expected what we were able to show. I'm not going to go over all of those results because I know you've seen them and read about them. But I want to thank you again personally for delivering so well on Q2. And it should not be lost on anyone here, especially your colleagues here, relative to our sales and marketing professionals and all of the field support, that they accomplished the sales and all of this increase that you've seen at a time when we were going through a major transformation, downsizing our company, getting our costs in line, and without all of that turmoil, without losing sight of the objective and delivering. You should feel great about that. Now, I want to remind you of a couple of other things going back to that time that have, amazingly for our company, remained stable. We said at that time to the world at large what we were trying to accomplish. What is our customer value proposition? And of course, we're a huge company with many different activities. But as a total value proposition for all of the different business units to support, we talk about what we can deliver that from a business perspective, customers need. We have the ability, directly and through our partners, to deliver on this statement, to enable multi-vendor environments that actually work. No one does it really well and does all the pieces, but we today do it better and quicker than anyone else. And our objective is continuing to improve on that so that we can absolutely be recognized as the leader in delivering this value to customers. That is what we want to do. It has remained stable, and it will remain stable. In addition to that, we said, well, we know what we're trying to do, at least in the overall. How are we going to do it? What is the framework that we're going to follow? And at the speech that I gave last July to a lot of you in this group, we talked about 6 strategic principles, and they are these. We said that we had to organize and conduct ourselves according to market rules, recognize marketplace reality, and we have done that. And of course, what it meant was that we had to eliminate functional matrix management at Digital. We had to establish business unit accountability for the P&L. We had to get competitive in our cost structure, and we had a lot of things to do around product introduction, the way we go to market, many activities to reflect market realities, and a great deal has been accomplished. We also said that while we're doing that, we cannot lose sight of the investment that customers have already made in our products and services, and we have to protect those investments. And we said if we had a chance of being successful, we had to stop competing with our key strategic partners. And we had to persuade them of that, by the way. And very recently, I was at the Executive Business Partner Seminar, Palm Desert, and it was amazing, the dramatic turnaround that we've seen in our partners. We're convincing them. Not all of them are yet convinced, but more and more of them are becoming so. And for the first time, people said it was amazing. I've been coming to these things 10 or 15 years, and at this one, no matter which digital vice president I talk to, they're saying the same thing. That is a big turnaround for our company. And they understand the difference, and they understand their role and their importance in making us successful. We said we had to have a credible value statement, and it had to build off our roots in networking and distributed computing, which this company largely invented. And we said we wanted to differentiate our products and services by their network readiness, whether it was network platforms, network services, and network software. And we would differentiate ourselves with our services and our support, and in particular with our world-class benchmark, really, multi-vendor customer services across the world. We've stayed with that, and we will stay with those principles. And so every time that we look at puts and takes to our organizational structure or anything at all, we're mindful of these principles, and it guides us in what we're doing. Now, going forward, as I said, we can certainly all be pleased with our accomplishments, and I am very confident in this team and your ability to continue this momentum. But on the other hand, I'm a little concerned that we've made this little bit of a turn and we may be thinking we can be complacent. Maybe it's going to go back to being a little loose and easy like it used to be, and I want to expunge any idea of that from your minds. We have to stay focused. We have a lot more to do. In particular, this is a quite critical quarter. As most of you know, we have to complete the transition of our new go-to-market model. We have to complete the transition of really establishing the SBU and ABU structure that we have designed. We have to manage in parallel during the quarter, and we have to get a lot of things right. And while we're doing that, we cannot take our eye off the need to generate cash and collect it, to continue the cost discipline that we've put in place, to continue the focus on gross margin improvement programs, and finally, as Enrico said in his remarks, to begin focusing more on revenue growth so that we can really grow this company and return to sustainable profitability, and revenue growth is necessary to do that. In addition to that, there's two very broad things we have to do. We have to continue to reestablish customer confidence. We've come a long way through your efforts, I think through the corporate advertising campaign, through the fact that the financials have improved. It's rather healthy to see the stock price essentially double from last July. The customers are feeling better about our prospects because they're reading what the analysts are saying and because of your hard work. We've got to keep that going, and we also have to pay more attention to our employee morale. Those of you that are managers and leaders in this company have a responsibility to think about the employees that you're responsible for and help them through this transition. It's not surprising that given the transition we've been going through for several years, that people have had a low morale and felt beat up. Most of this transformation and downsizing is behind us. Certainly in the sales side, it's behind us. We've still got a little work to do on G&A, but relative to what we've already accomplished, we have a very small amount of pain to go through, in my judgment, if we can keep this momentum going. And to keep that going, to make sure that that customer confidence continues to return, employee morale continues to improve, we have to meet our Q3 objectives. We have to meet it. It's tough. We know that sequentially it's hard to maintain flat revenue going from Q2 to Q3, but we have the strongest line of products and services we've ever had, and we have dedicated employees, many of them in this room, that can ensure that we achieve the objectives, and the objectives are reasonable. We want to achieve those objectives, and we will keep that momentum going. We have to focus on our customer satisfaction. We've got a lot of areas for improvement in that regard. As a management team, I'll be reviewing my direct reports and they'll be reviewing you in terms of customer satisfaction, employee morale, and the quality of our products and services. And we're collecting data on these issues in a more formal way, and we're taking it very seriously, and I know that you're taking it very seriously. At the end of the day, we don't have anything if we don't have satisfied customers. We have to do whatever it takes that's rational to ensure that we do satisfy those customer requirements. You know, one of the problems about this company and probably any company, you're going through these transformations, you make a big turn, sometimes we kind of overshoot, and making the turn to customer-focused business units, there's always the danger, we're trying to get autonomy, we're trying to get accountability, there's always the danger that we might forget to work together. Our total value proposition depends on the synergy of the business units working together. We have to work together for that synergy and for a maximization of our talent and resources to deliver customer value. And we're doing better at that. I'm personally encouraged to see the level of teamwork of my direct reports that had been lacking in the past. It takes time. People have to have clear understanding and they have to be comfortable with each other. And we're not where we need to be totally, but it's coming, and it feels a lot better. Now, in closing, I want to say that my own perspective is that we are more than halfway through this transformation, and it is a complete cultural and business transformation of this company that we are seeking. As I said, we have to maintain our discipline on costs, on the gross margin improvement program, on profits, on collecting cash because we need cash to finance this turnaround, and in particular, to focus on customer satisfaction and employee morale, and we have to deliver Q3. It's about that easy a message this morning. I want to thank you all again for everything that you've done to bring us this far, and in particular, the last 7 months. And I want to remind you that we have the technology and we have the talent, much of it here in this room, to successfully transform this company and complete this turnaround. And I can say to you quite straightforward and honestly that I have never felt more confident than I feel today in our ability to do exactly that. Thank you.